Good morning. This is the case of McLean versus Secretary Nicholson. Are counsel ready to proceed?
Yes, sir.
Would counsel introduce themselves?
Richard Spataro for appellant, Your Honor.
Carrie Loring for the Secretary. The witness is Brian McLean, Assistant Deputy General Counsel.
Okay. Mr. Spataro, are you ready to proceed now?
Yes, Your Honor.
And do you wish to reserve any time?
Your Honor, I'd like to reserve 7 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honors, in its November 2004 decision, the Board of Veterans' Appeals denied appellant's claim for a psychiatric disability to include major depression. The issue before the court today is a purely legal one. And that issue is whether a veteran satisfies the current disability requirement for establishing service connection if he has a disability when he files his claim, but that disability resolves by the time the VA finally adjudicates that claim. Now, on page 21 of the board's decision, the board found that service connection for major depression could not be granted because the veteran was no longer currently diagnosed with depression when it decided the claim. On page 22 of its decision, the board found that although the veteran suffered from major depression in the past, the disability had been shown by the medical evidence to have resolved by the time of its decision. And therefore, the board found there was no current psychiatric disability manifested which could be service-connected. The appellant does not contest the board's factual findings that appellant suffered from major depression when he filed his claim and during the pendency of the claim. In fact, the record shows that 6 different medical professionals diagnosed appellant with major depression from November 1994 to January 1996. The record contains no medical opinions for that period which contradict any of those diagnoses of major depression. Appellant also does not contest the board's factual finding that the major depression disability had resolved itself by the time the board rendered its decision, 10 years after appellant filed his claim. The record contains a September 2003 medical opinion, which is 7.5 years after appellant's last formal diagnosis of major depression, which determined that at that time, appellant no longer suffered from major depression. However, the board's finding that under those circumstances, appellant did not satisfy the current disability requirement for establishing service connection is contrary to the law. In Gilpin v. West and Degmedich v. Brown, the Federal Circuit held that claimants satisfy the current disability requirement for establishing service connection if they have a disability on the date they filed their claim for benefits. The board's legal conclusion that appellant did not satisfy the current disability requirement is contrary to law.
Let's get down to a few questions here. To be service-connected, must you have a disability?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So, upon a determination of service connection and you do not have a disability, what occurs?
Typically, the disability would either be reduced to 0% rating or, in certain circumstances, the rating could be severed. But typically, 0% rating would be assigned.
So, in this case, what you're saying is that there should have been a severance.
There should have been a severance or a 0% rating, but the appellant should have been entitled to service connection for the period after he filed his claim, but when he suffered from major depression.
And is there any question about the etiology of the depression?
There is a medical nexus opinion, Your Honor, that links the only opinion of record addressing the issue that links the major depression, specifically says that it's related to his multiple somatic disorders, probably related to Gulf War syndrome.
That was one of the earlier diagnoses.
Yes, Your Honor, that was in 1995.
And when there was also some that connected it to alcohol dependence?
Your Honor, there were several reasons included as possible causes, but the one decision that says it's probable says it's related to the Gulf War, the multiple somatic problems. I believe the 2003 opinion, the 2003 VA examination cites several possible causes for his major depression.
And what was the board's, what evidence supports the board's determination that any depression had resolved?
That would be the September 2003 VA examination.
But there was no medical opinion that it had resolved, that any depression had resolved, was it?
The examiner stated that the veteran did experience a major depressive episode in the past, and that he no longer suffered from major depression, Your Honor.
And that he has a personality disorder?
That he currently has a personality disorder, yes, Your Honor.
So it wasn't a change in diagnosis?
No, Your Honor.
Okay.
Didn't the board make a finding with regard to nexus on page 22?
Middle yes, Your Honor.
Paragraph. Secondly, is major depression, although attributed at least in part to his service in the Persian Gulf, has been shown by medical evidence to have resolved. Is it your position that that was an actual finding by the board?
Yes, Your Honor. In addition to that, on page 20, the board also makes a similar finding, says that...
Doesn't the secretary suggest that that's merely a rendition of the evidence, and wouldn't that be a fair position to take? You take the opposite and say it's a finding. But then on page 22, does the secretary take a position on that? Do you know?
On page 22, it's definitely a more firm position, and it seems to be a clear finding.
So your position is that it's almost like stage ratings then. In other words, if VA is adjudicating a claim and the individual has a disability at time of application, but for whatever reason it either diminishes in severity or goes away, there should be a finding of service connection with a disability rating as of the date of the claim. Up to a certain date, you get this, and up to a certain date, you get X, and then up to a certain date, you're severed.
That is precisely what appellant is contending, Your Honor. And Gilpin and Digmetic support that contention. They specifically state, and it's been the Secretary's position consistently in the past, that a claimant only need, or the claimant must have a current disability on the date he or she filed their claim. And that's the it's been the position that's been espoused by the VA. Gilpin and Digmetic, they were decided over 10 years ago, Your Honor.
Is there anything in those decisions that indicates the Secretary cannot change his position?
There's nothing that specifically in those opinions that says the Secretary cannot change his opinion, Your Honor, but the Secretary has not. There have been no regulations since Gilpin and Digmetic changing that position. There have been no M21-1MR provisions. There have been no VA General Counsel precedent opinions that have changed this position that was clearly stated in Gilpin and Digmetic. In this case, the board's legal conclusion that appellant did not satisfy the current disability requirement is contrary to law because appellant suffered from major depression on the date he filed his claim. And it's clear from the evidence, and the board has even conceded that point. And they made the finding that he did suffer from major depression in the past. Now, the board's interpretation of the current disability requirement, the element, is requiring claimants to not only have a disability on the date they file their claim, but also on the date the VA finally adjudicates their claim, it cannot be the law, because it would lead to absurd results. Take the example of two veterans, Veteran A and Veteran B, who both suffer from athlete's foot, a condition that is commonly service-connected by the VA, and a condition that commonly resolves. Both veterans suffer from athlete's foot in 1995. Both veterans A and B file a claim for service connection in 1995, and the evidence shows that in both A's case and in B's case, their athlete's foot has manifested to a disabling degree, and a compensable degree, for 8 years, from 1995 to 2003. In both cases, by 2003, the athlete's foot has been cured. Now assume that Veteran A's claim was granted by the RO shortly after he filed his claim, and he was assigned a compensable rating. He receives that disability compensation for 8 years until 2003, when his rating is reduced to 0% because his athlete's foot is cured. Now let's assume that Veteran B filed his claim, but it was denied by the RO because the RO did not have the evidence yet or it misread the evidence. Veteran B appealed that decision, but the board did not finally adjudicate that claim until 10 years later, such as the case here. Under the board's analysis of this case, it would deny Veteran B his claim and any compensation merely because his athlete's foot had cured by the time the board adjudicated his claim 10 years down the road. However, Veteran A, who had the exact same disability picture, 8 years of athlete's foot, filed the service connection claim on the same date, he would have received 8 years of benefits for the same disability. And yet, Veteran B would receive nothing, simply because of the time it took for the VA to finally adjudicate his case. Your Honors, it's not a secret that there is a large backlog at the VA. Many claims take several years to go through the adjudication process. It would be absurd to treat similarly situated veterans differently merely because of the differences in the length of time it takes to adjudicate their claims.
In your example, which is the one that got the award right away, A or B?
A got the award right away, Your Honor.
A got the award 10 years down the road when he was cured. Could VA take away his service connection?
That's unclear, Your Honor. It could definitely rate him at 0%, and it could potentially sever his service connection.
And what is the standard for severing?
Usually the standard for severance is clear and unmistakable error, Your Honor, in the original decision.
Is that without regard to how long he was service connected?
I believe certain disabilities, if they're rated for 10 years or longer, cannot be severed.
So let's stay out of that. Let's say it's within the 10-year period. It takes clear and unmistakable evidence?
Yes, Your Honor.
So what if we followed your line of thought and B, instead of getting a decision, when did he get cured? The eighth year?
The eighth year, both of them, Your Honor.
If they were rendering their decision in the 10th year, would they give him service connection and a disability rating as appropriate for the first 8 years, and then non-service connection for the next 2 years, or would the determination as to whether or not you were service connected from 8th to the 10th year on and beyond would have to be done under the same standard, the same Q standard?
Your Honor, with regard to this case and the hypothetical, it's not necessarily important whether it's severed at the 8-year point or a 0% disability rating is assigned.
So we don't need to get there today.
Your Honor, it's not a point critical to this case. What's important is that for a period, a veteran was disabled due to his service, and after he files his claim, he receives compensation benefits, or he should be entitled to compensation benefits. The scheme of the VA benefit system is that veterans are compensated for the loss of earning capacity for the period after they file their claim in which they are disabled by a service-connected disability.
Well, just take me down this road a little bit because I'm thinking about it. In the rating situation, let's say you have a claim that took 10 years to get resolved, and during that period the board determined that for the first 7 years your rating was at 50%.
Okay, Your Honor.
But after that it was only worth 20%. What's the standard to reduce from 50% to 20%, given that the rating being assigned now is effective for 7 years?
Your Honor, if the medical evidence...
Do we have any case law on that?
There is case law regarding stage ratings, Your Honor.
But do they address the issue of whether or not a staged rating once assigned, retroactive for more than 5 years, takes a different standard to reduce it?
Your Honor, I'm not aware of that. I will gladly submit a written supplement. I'm not aware off the top of my head, Your Honor. Your Honors, in this case, appellant suffered from major depression when he filed his claim for disability benefits. The law is clear that in order for a veteran to meet the current disability requirement, he or she must have the disability on the date he or she filed their claims. Therefore, Mr. McClain, the appellant, satisfied the current disability requirement for establishing service connection. The board finding to the contrary is absurd and contrary to the law. Appellant asked the court respectfully to reverse the board finding that appellant did not suffer current disability, did not meet the current disability requirement, and order the board to award appellant service connection. If Your Honors do not have any further questions, I will conclude.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Good morning again, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Contrary to appellant's assertion, this is not a legal issue, it's a factual issue. And I would draw the Court's attention to the record and a chronology of events. Appellant has not been diagnosed on more than 6 occasions with depression. In fact, when he filed his claim in November of 1994, he was immediately thereafter examined by the VA, and he wasn't found to have any kind of a psychiatric disorder. Now, I will grant that the scenario that appellant presents under those circumstances, if a claimant presented with a disability that was subject to service connection, which at a later time perhaps had resolved, the secretary would grant service connection in those instances. In this case, it's very factual, and I think we have a cart before a horse scenario. The appellant never had a disability that was related to service. And there's one opinion, which is certainly equivocal at best, where the Dr. Blanton in October, I believe it was, or November of 95, who was doing an evaluation for Social Security Administration, said that the appellant had major depression, which was probably due to somatic symptoms, probably due to Persian Gulf. But that's...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Please. Judge Castle.
Are you arguing that the board did not find that the appellant suffered from major depression during a portion of this claim?
No, Your Honor. I am arguing that the board recognized that the appellant was diagnosed with depression. However, there was never any determination of a nexus.
What about page 21? These problems have since resolved. Does that not mean that they recognize he had the problems as opposed to just some diagnosis floating out there?
No, Your Honor, they recognized that he had a diagnosis of depression. However, they also recognized that after lengthy development and a longitudinal view, which is what you need to do in determining a depression, a major depression, they weighed the evidence and found that the preponderance of the evidence was against a finding that the appellant had depression that was related to service.
Where do they say that, counsel?
Well, some of it you have to infer, Your Honor. They say on page 20.
I just got to jump in. Where in 7104 does it say you infer from the board decision its decision?
Well, that's actually my interpretation, but there's no clear finding either way. I mean, there is no finding. However inartful the decision is written, there is no finding on the board's part that he had a disability that was related to service.
Isn't the real problem here, counsel, the problem that the board created at the top of page 21 where it said, and I'll select some words from the first two sentences, service connection cannot be granted because the veteran is no longer diagnosed with major depression. Isn't that the real problem that we're dealing with here?
Yes, Your Honor, and I would...
So did the board make any finding with regard to whether or not he currently had depression or currently had personality disorder?
The only findings that the board made were that the appellant did not have a disability that was manifested by an undiagnosed illness, or that he had a acquired psychiatric disorder that was subject to service connection. And at the very beginning, where they actually state their findings on page 3, they find that he doesn't manifest current symptoms of an undiagnosed psychiatric disorder, which is what I said earlier, and that he is currently diagnosed with a personality disorder, which has never been subject to service connection. And I would draw your attention back to the chronology of this case. As Judge Green mentioned earlier, the appellant's original diagnosis of depression was based on a Southwest Alabama mental health clinic. He went to that, if I may backtrack even further, in the service, he was treated for alcoholism on multiple occasions, which he acknowledged. In January of 1990, he was involved, in an altercation with his brother, I believe, or brother-in-law. That's in the record on page 100. He had a fractured nose. Subsequently, in March of 1990, he was referred to family advocacy. This was all pre-Persian Gulf. He went to the Gulf in October of 1990. when he returned in March, or even when he was in the Gulf, I believe, on March 10th of 1991, he was referred to an alcoholism program. He returned in March of 91. He separated from service. He had a periodic exam that was negative. He filed his claim in 1994, later submitted the documents from the Southwest Alabama Mental Health Center.
It seems to me there's two issues. One is, did he have a disability of depression at the time he filed his claim that resolved itself by the time the claim was decided? And two, was that depression, if he had it, service-connected? And I hear you combining both of them together. And when I go through the record on page 21 and page 22, I read, these problems have since resolved. Medical evidence shows the veteran's depression has resolved, no longer manifests a psychiatric disability, has shown by medical evidence to have resolved. I'm having a hard time following what I thought you were saying, is that the board did not find that he had medical depression at the time he filed his claim. Keep it separate from whether it's service-connected or not. Did he or did he not have?
Well, I don't think that was clear. When he filed his claim, he actually had no evidence. He subsequently submitted the November 1994 evidence.
Let's go with the board. Did the board find in their write-up that he had depression at the time or during the process of his claim, which, by the time they made their decision, resolved, and keep separate the service connection issue?
Yes, I understand, Your Honor. What the board did was recite, the evidence, and found that the appellant had been diagnosed with depression. Yes, and the board acknowledged that he had a diagnosis of depression.
Is that the same as the finding that he had depression, in your language?
In the board's decision, I must say that it's not a model of clarity, and I don't think it's real clear here. But if you want to assume the board found he did have a diagnosis of depression when he filed his claim, I believe we can do that. We still get to the same result.
And that's because you say they did not find there was service connection.
That's right, Your Honor. And they also recognized. I agree that the statute doesn't say that we have to infer things, but we also have a lengthy decision, and as I said, it's not particularly clear, but if you look at the decision closely, you can see that the board is recognizing, yes, he had this depression that was diagnosed by a professional. However, longitudinally, as you look at the whole process and you get to the Dr. Hargrove's examination and opinion, and he looks back at the record, and he said, yes, he had a depression at this time, which was situational. It was related to substance abuse. It was related to his wife leaving him. It was related to physical problems. And that's what the board is reporting. So I don't believe that there is an issue here of a legal finding. I believe that it's a factual case, and it turns on the facts as presented that the appellant at one point had a diagnosis. None of the diagnoses were particularly definitive. If you look, he was at the Southwest Alabama clinic for, I think, 3 months. He was diagnosed in 94. He was terminated in April of 95 for not having shown up for 90 days. He hadn't been there since, I believe, January, so he was there for 3 months. None of the VA examiners who examined him at length specifically for mental disorders found a diagnosis of depression.
Yeah, but I don't think we're getting into the VA examiners here. We're in the board decision and the question of whether or not the board found that he had a disability for a period of time during the processing of the claim.
No, Your Honor, the board never found that he had a disability that was subject to service connection, and that's what...
Leave out the subject to service connection. Just leave that out. Did they find he had a disability? We'll determine whether it was service connected later.
Well, Your Honor, but the whole point of the VA and granting service connection is that there is a disability for VA purposes that's subject to service connection.
All right, well, what about page 22, middle of the paragraph? Secondly, his major depression, although attributed at least in part to his service in the Persian Gulf. Doesn't that sound like service connection to you? Doesn't say, although attributed by some doctors who we don't believe, it just says, me, the board, or them, the board, attributed at least in part to his service in the Persian Gulf.
Well, again, they didn't clarify. However, if I may, they're saying, yes, his major depression was attributed by one of the medical professionals.
It doesn't say that. It says, although attributed,
at least in part, I understand that, Your Honor, but what I'm trying to reach is, fine, if you wish to accept that this is the board's finding, then indeed they found that he had a depression that was at least attributed in part
to... And if we do find that, you would agree, as I thought you said in the very beginning, that he should be service-connected for that particular time, assigned a disability rating, and then whatever happens after that.
No, I would agree if there was a conclusive finding that he had a depression that was related to service. This is only one part of it. We're looking at a whole plethora of evidence, and the board found the preponderance was against the finding. I would go back to the appellant's initial...
But didn't they find the preponderance was against the finding because he no longer had a current diagnosis?
He had a personality disorder, yes, and they found that the preponderance of the evidence was against a finding that he had depression. And I don't want to confuse the situation. The secretary would certainly agree that service connection would be granted for an appellant who showed up with a diagnosed disability that was related to service, and by the time, because of the length of the adjudication, it was resolved, service connection would still be granted, and then it would become a Fenderson. At what point do you assign what level of compensation? But that's not the case here. I can only bring the court back to what we have in front of us, which is a factual issue, and it's a question of whether this appellant had a disability that was, for the VA purposes, a disability, and was it related to service? And we just don't have that here. Again, the evidence, and I know you didn't want to talk about the VA examiners, but we have 3 VA examinations, all of whom looked at the appellant and said there was no diagnosis. I mean, the initial examination in March of 96, I believe, Dr. Kimbla said, rule out depression, rule out impulse disorder. I mean, I believe you can't look at this in a vacuum. This particular veteran has...
But if 3 VA doctors said he did not have a disability and the board made a finding that he did have a disability, if that were the case, could we overturn that?
Well, Your Honor, you can do...
I don't think we can. I think we have a statute that says we can't.
Well, you have a statute that says if it was clearly erroneous. I don't believe that you can find that this is the board's... There's a plausible basis here for the board's finding. Again, I can, however imprecise the language is, they did reach the right conclusion. And I don't, if you go back to, as the board writes its decision, the only finding that they clearly made is at the beginning, which is that he didn't manifest symptoms sufficient to relate it to an undiagnosed illness. And
is that because they used the word finds?
I beg your pardon, Your Honor? At the beginning? In the findings?
You're talking about the very beginning on the front page?
Page 3.
And so that's the only findings of fact? Is it your position, is the Secretary's position that when I read these, the only findings of fact are the ones listed in the front?
No, Your Honor, that's not the Secretary's position. In this particular decision, I believe that there are other board decisions that are very clear, and they very clearly state, this is our finding. In this case, I would say that you need to clarify what the board is saying, and again, however inartfully they said it, and they weren't always accurate. I mean, there was only one psychologist who actually attributed the appellant's depression to Persian Gulf Service. But
didn't they also point out that the depression was attributed to something else?
Yes, they also pointed out that depression was attributable to his wife leaving, to his alcohol issues, his physical problems, his unemployment. I mean, there are multiple problems, but what the one constant throughout this case is that the appellant had serious impulse difficulties, that he was very aggressive and he was in altercations all before the Persian Gulf. And to go back to appellant's assertion of Degmedich and Gilpin, the Secretary is not changing his mind with regard to those cases. But I believe that those cases, and the Secretary would argue that those cases stand for the premise that you need a disability when you file your claim, either at the time or thereafter. There's no jurisprudence in a particular scenario that we have in front of us, and I don't believe that that's the case that is before the court. I mean, there's no question that if you have a disability that is service connectable when you file your claim, which is later determined to be service connectable, and then is resolved.
I'm glad you resolved that for me.
Let me ask you this, counsel, with regard to, you know, what this court should do, where you have characterized the board decision as weren't always accurate, not clear, requiring us to infer conclusions, what should the court do with such a board decision?
Well, the Secretary would argue that you should affirm it. It is, again, if you read it very carefully, and I don't mean to, I believe that the board decision did what it needed to do and reached the right conclusion and presented the information that it needed to present, which is that this appellant had a diagnosis of depression, which was later found to be a best situational by a VA examiner who found that what he actually has is a personality disorder, and the board also found that that was consistent with the evidence of record. I mean,
Excuse me, just one moment, I'm sorry, but what you just stated, I had asked this question to the appellant. Are you saying that VA's position is that looking at all this over the total of the evidence presented over the years, that what the veteran had was really a personality disorder and not depression?
Apparently that was what Dr. Hargrove, I mean, Dr. Hargrove said that he did have depression, that the symptomatology that he manifested during that one period in 1994-95 when he was diagnosed with depression was related to the situation that he was in, and that he also, the dysthymia, the manifestations of a personality disorder include dysthymia, which apparently are similar to manifestations of depression. So,
and that situation in 94, they were saying that depressive episode was not related to, was related to the relationships and the
alcoholism
alcohol and the
unemployment, and that's in the record, Your Honor, that's in the record in several places, but particularly throughout 305 to 309, I believe, is the bulk of the Southwest Alabama. And actually, the only psychologist who diagnosed the depression independent of the Social Security were Dr. Blanton, who is the one who said it was related to somatic problems, and then Dr. Michaels, who, when he saw the appellant at the Southwest Alabama Mental Health Center, he's the one who talked to Dr. Coronado at VA and said, we think, you know, he has suicidal ideations, he's really ill, and agreed to have him admitted. Well, he never went for the admission. And that same psychologist later in the Social Security records, and it was in December of 95, I believe it was in the record, it's in the record at 600, said he was the appellant was examined by Dr. Michaels on only one occasion, and he appeared to be suffering from a major depressive disorder. But this is, it sounds to me, in retrospect, he's saying that's how he appeared at the time, so we don't even have a definitive diagnosis in this circumstance.
Yeah, but isn't the problem that the board didn't write it up the way that you're explaining it? I mean, again, we're not going to go down, I don't believe, into the underlying documents to overturn what appears to be a favorable finding by this board, in favorable in the sense of a claim.
Well, Your Honor, I would draw you back to yes, the board, perhaps, as I said, didn't articulate it very clearly, but they did find that the preponderance of the evidence weighed against service connection, that there was and is no current psychiatric, acquired psychiatric disability.
At the date of this decision, there was no current psychiatric disability.
Well, at the date of this decision, what they discovered was that the depression that had been diagnosed earlier was actually personality disorder, therefore not subject to service connection. They never really
but
went
counsel,
beyond...
But, why didn't they just say that, if that's what you would have us believe? Why would they instead say, this is so because the veteran is no longer currently diagnosed with major depression?
Well...
Isn't that different from saying never had?
I can only speculate.
Depression?
I mean, I didn't write the decision, unfortunately, and I don't know why the board didn't say that, except that the board sees there is no current disability that's subject to service connection, and I believe they didn't articulate it clearly in their decision.
But you're inviting the board, you're inviting the court to substitute its understanding of the facts and its conclusions with regard to the facts, because you've said that this is a factual issue only. You're inviting us to substitute our assessment of the facts for the board's assessment of the facts, aren't you?
No, Your Honor, I'm not. I'm inviting you to look at the facts as laid out in the board decision. And it requires some parsing, only in the sense that if you look at what the board actually said on page 22 and 21.
But again, on page 21, counsel, they say in the end of that long paragraph, essentially the medical evidence shows that the veteran's depression has resolved.
What they also say, Your Honor, in the last paragraph on page 20, that the medical evidence reflects that the veteran was diagnosed with major depression, and again, they recite the evidence.
Let me ask you this, counsel. I don't want to go through every line of the board decision, but at the bottom of page 21, next to last line, we're looking for board findings here, and here the board actually says the board finds that the veteran no longer manifests a psychiatric disability. Now, how can that be the same as saying never manifested a psychiatric disability?
It isn't, and I don't propose to say that it is, but I think, again, at the same time, the board's saying, they also found that the examination by Dr. Hargrove, on the same page, last paragraph, was informed by a review of the entire record, and they found they specifically found to be highly probative. And then they found that he no longer manifests a psychiatric disability in Axis 1, and service connection for major depression must therefore be denied. So the board never went to a nexus. They just went, kind of hit the salient points and said, he doesn't even have depression any longer, so we're not going to even assess whether whether there was a nexus, because he doesn't have that diagnosis any longer. What he has is a personality disorder, which has never been subject to service connection.
But if they had concluded that he had depression at some time in the past, they would have had to assess it if they were going to find service connection based on...
Yes, they would have had, yes, if they found that he had it. And then at that point, they would have needed to make an evaluation whether it was related to service, and if so, weigh the evidence and come to the conclusion.
Counsel, is there a point at which different diagnoses for various conditions or patterns of behavior becomes the lack of a diagnosis?
I'm not sure what you...
Well, you're saying that one diagnosis, if it was made, excludes another diagnosis here that was later made, and that the board apparently accepted that he had a personality disorder rather than major depression as a diagnosis. My question is, as you get into these competing diagnoses in your analysis, not one diagnosis resolved and then another diagnosis, is there a point at which where you have competing diagnoses that you reach a point where, under the Gulf War presumptions statute, you actually have the lack of a diagnosis?
Sir, I don't believe that in this case, because I don't think that they are competing diagnoses. I believe that what the board was looking at was, again, sort of a longitudinal view, and seeing that first of all, the board found that he did have manifest symptoms of, I believe, well, he had the headaches, which he's service-connected for, and the muscle and joint pain, which he's service-connected for. There's never even been a finding that he had mood swings anywhere in the record. I mean, he was found to have depression, but I haven't seen anywhere where he had a mood swing.
Well, an argument, you've told us that he had mood swings, though, haven't you? I mean, haven't you told us that he had these episodes where he did not control himself? Represent mood swings?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not a physician. I didn't contemplate that as a mood swing. I saw it as more of a consistent, consistent episodes of aggression on his part. But I don't know whether that. I would see a mood swing as more of a manic and then depression and then up and down. And I believe we have evidence of that.
We won't get into our medical knowledge.
I don't profess to be any kind of a medical expert. But that was a good point. I really didn't look at it in that regard. I see my light is on. So I would bring the court back to what we have in front of us, which is admittedly a not particularly clear board decision. However, the board did make a finding that the preponderance of the evidence was against appellant's claim. They did find that he has a personality disorder, which is not subject to service connection. And there was never really a finding whether the depression that he had was related to service. It wasn't necessary because all of the evidence, particularly Dr. Hargrove, said that if he did, or what he did have during that time, was basically a situational depression. And no one, there has never really been a definitive finding that it would be related to service. So if the court has no further questions.
Thank you. You have 7 minutes, Mr. Spataro.
Thank you.
So now it's a factual determination. Say, what's your position on that?
Your Honor, I hesitate to even discuss the facts behind this. It seems clear that the board made factual findings that appellant did suffer from major depression in the past. They did not make a finding that the major depression was actually a personality disorder. They found that he suffered from major depression in the past. It resolved. Now he suffers from a separate, completely separate disability, a personality disorder.
But did they ever make a finding that he had depression based on an undiagnosed illness from the Gulf?
No, Your Honor, this is not an undiagnosed illness claim. No, Your Honor.
Okay.
This is a direct service connection.
A direct service connection claim, yes, Your Honor.
So did they ever rule that he had depression based upon something in the Gulf?
Your Honor, the board found that appellant suffered from major depression. I'll read their words. His major depression, although attributed at least in part to his service in the Persian Gulf.
Well, no, you take that as a finding, but rather
yes,
than a reference to the doctor's statement who said he had depression probably from the Gulf.
Your Honor, the medical evidence supporting that conclusion was the medical opinion of Dr. Blanton in 1995.
Right.
And he found that the major depression was probably related to Gulf War syndrome. And appellant is service-connected for Gulf War syndrome. He has he's service-connected for an undiagnosed illness manifested by joint muscle pain effective September 1994. Therefore, a finding that shows that his depression is, major depression was related to multiple somatic disorders, probably due to Gulf War depression. It has support in the record. The diagnoses are clear. They clearly support the board's findings. For at least the period from November 1994 to January 1996, there are no contradictory opinions saying that appellant did not have major depression. In the 2003 VA examiner's opinion, he doesn't find that appellant actually suffered from personality disorder during that period. He acknowledges that the veteran suffered from major depression. He had an episode of major depression, a period when he was suffered from major depression. There is no medical opinion in the record that states that that VA examiner does not make a conclusion. He doesn't offer an opinion about whether that major depressive disorder was related to service. The only opinion in the record is Dr. Bland's that actually addresses service connection for the major depression. Your Honor, it's irrelevant that the veteran, the VA has pointed out that the veteran had an alcohol problem, that he was involved in many fights. That's separate from a major depression diagnosis. They are, it's possible and it's probable, people can suffer from these disorders and suffer from major depression. They are exclusive, mutually exclusive. The evidence shows that appellant suffered from major depression, and the board, after viewing the evidence and considering the evidence, made that finding, and it is clear from their decision. And if Your Honors have no further questions,
Please state that last position again. That the board decided what?
The board made a finding that appellant suffered from major depression in the past. As a result of his Persian Gulf service, at least in part due to his Persian Gulf service.
So you're saying that that's the board's conclusion based upon its review of the evidence.
Yes, Your Honor.
That his depression is attributable to the Persian Gulf experience.
Yes, Your Honor.
Rather than it being a recitation of the evidence before the board, where he has the veteran has attributed his depression to his Gulf War experience.
Your Honor, that is a board finding. This is based on a medical opinion in the record.
Yeah, the medical opinion says, the medical opinion attributes it to the Gulf War.
Yes, Your Honor. And it certainly appears from the board decision that they have, based on that opinion, that his major depression is attributed to his Gulf War service, based on that opinion, Your Honor. And that appears to be a finding rather than just a recitation of the facts of the record. If Your Honors have no further questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anything else? All right, we will greet the bar and then the case is submitted. And we will adjourn.
All rise. Was that during the fundamentals?